Last week, the Idaho Department of Correction was ordered to release information regarding lethal injection drugs, specifically drugs used in two executions in 2011 and 2012. Idaho 4th District Judge Lynn Norton made that ruling, which stemmed from a lawsuit filed by University of Idaho Associate Law Professor Elisa Cover. Cover is represented in the case by the ACLU of Idaho. The way states find, obtain, pay for, and store lethal injection drugs has been a key issue in court cases across our nation. Today, Elisa and legal director for the ACLU of Idaho, Richie Epnick, join me live in studio to talk about the case, the ruling, and what this means for Idaho. So welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Elisa, I want to start with you. What made you decide to initially ask for a public records request? Because this is what this entire case stemmed from, correct?
Absolutely. And thanks for the question, and thanks for inviting us to the show. So Idaho has had only three executions since the late 1970s, and the two most recent executions of Rhodes and Levitt in 2011 and 2012 took place at a time when it had become very difficult for states to obtain lethal injection drugs. And so understanding how the state got those execution drugs for those executions can help us understand how the state is obtaining drugs in the future and what how Idaho responded to the lack of execution drugs. We still don't know how Idaho got those drugs, whether it obtained them from a lawful source, whether it obtained them from a reputable source. We know, for example, that Idaho had been in conversation with a distributor from India that had been illegally importing drugs to the United States. And so I'm really trying to understand what Idaho has been doing in order to obtain drugs for executions.
And one of the reasons why this is important is that there's an example, like Pfizer announced, in 2016, that it would no longer provide lethal injection drugs. So because of that, it is a matter of where are you getting them? Are they going out of the country? Are they doing certain drug cocktails? But my question is, why does that matter?
Sure.
Why should people care?
Right. So, as you said, there has been a shortage of sort of prominent pharmaceutical companies being willing to give drugs to states that want to use them for executions. And so states have had three primary responses to the lack of execution drugs, all of which are somewhat troubling. The first is to go to smaller, less regulated sources for these drugs, primarily to compounding pharmacies, which are not well regulated and which may have problematic track records. For example, in Missouri, it was discovered that the state had been obtaining execution drugs from a compounding pharmacy that had a record of regulatory violations, contamination in the drugs that it was using, et cetera. And of course, if you have contaminated drugs, it might end up causing somebody who's being executed severe pain during the execution. Another thing the states have been doing in response to the shortage is trying to change up their execution protocols, trying to use new and experimental drugs in place of more standard drugs in the executions. Again, this raises the risk that people will experience serious suffering while they are being executed.
And I know that you did the public records request. Mm-hmm. You were denied that public records request. So when you were denied, then you bring a lawsuit against the Department of Correction, correct? So then how does the ACLU, Richie, get involved in this?
We got involved to make sure that this process is a transparent one. We don't have in Idaho, like we've seen in some other states, a categorical exemption for this sort of information. And it's important that we keep it that way in Idaho, because the only way that the public and the legislature and the agencies that are involved in this process can have a democratic decision about whether or not we think our method of execution is appropriate and contemporary and safe and humane is by knowing how this process goes on. And the increasing efforts to shield this information to the public is an anti-democratic process.
And to be the devil's advocate, because I'm sure there are people listening saying these people are being executed for heinous crimes. You don't get on death row. You do not get executed unless you've been convicted of first-degree murder. So I would say there are people, critics, who would say, so what if they suffer? What do you say to that?
So I think that even people who have been convicted of very serious crimes are entitled to the protections of the Constitution. And the Eighth Amendment guarantees that people do not have a demonstrated risk of severe pain during their execution. And even if the people of Idaho believe that there should be the death penalty, they also, I think, as a humane society, we should hope that the executions get carried out in a way that is as humane as possible. And it's also extremely important for the public to understand how these executions are occurring, because without that knowledge, it's impossible for people to make an informed decision about whether they want to have the death penalty.
And Richie?
And we, in our country, conservative estimates of the number of innocent people that are on death row are 4%. We're not just killing people who are guilty.
I'm speaking with Elisa Cover, an assistant law professor at the University of Idaho, and Richie Epnick, legal director for the Idaho ACLU. We're talking about the case involving the release of information about lethal injection drugs. And in fact, just last week, a fourth district judge told the Department of Corrections that they had to release this information. It was an order. And one thing that that Judge Norton said in her ruling, which I thought was interesting, was that there are, and I'm paraphrasing this, but there are other ways of adopting forms of execution. She says there is a firing squad or an electric chair. The court is not aware of any who just released death row inmates into the community. And the reason why she said that in her ruling was that is an argument that was made. Can you talk a little bit about that, Elisa?
Sure. So there are other – lethal injection is one method of execution. It is the one that's been most common in recent years, and it's the only one that is currently authorized under state law in Idaho. But other states have been considering other options for executions as lethal injection drugs become more difficult to obtain, including the firing squad, including nitrogen gas and other potential avenues. There are risks involved with all of these. It should be noted that I think people started doing lethal injections in order to have a more humane death penalty, and yet the botched execution rate under lethal injection is approximately 7%, which is much higher than any other method of execution that has been used.
And did this happen even when they were obtaining drugs from big pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer, things like that?
Yes. I mean, there have been botched executions for a lot of reasons, including the difficulty of placing an IV in somebody's arm and injecting the amount of execution drugs that are necessary to kill somebody. So there are difficulties with lethal injection. Those difficulties are exacerbated by the lack of execution drugs and the lack of transparency surrounding these processes.
And when you say botched execution, I mean, we've read those articles where it's just it takes a longer time, and people have seizures, things like that. That's what you're referring to?
Yeah, maybe taking a longer time and maybe causing severe pain to the person who's being executed. People have said things like, my body is on fire while they are being executed. And so all sorts of problems can occur during the course of the execution.
And Richie, what does this mean for the state of Idaho and for Idahoans when a judge makes this ruling saying the Department of Correction, you must release this information?
What it means is we now have information on which we can have an actual public discussion about what the death penalty is in Idaho and whether we want and how we want to continue it. While we have laws and agencies that are trying to shield this information from the public doesn't get an honest say in this process. Would we as a society allow the state of Idaho to burn people to death? That's a question for the public. As Elisa mentioned, people are experiencing these drugs in a way that feels like their body is on fire.
Why are states not wanting to release this information?
That's a good question for the state. I don't see any public interest in shielding this information from the public and keeping this a secret. If your interest is in to preserve a cruel death penalty that you know that the public would not permit if they knew the full story, then I can understand the motivation to shield this information. But if your interest is in maintaining the public interest in public safety and having a humane society, then this information should be published without even Elisa or anybody else having to request it.
And as Judge Norton said, this is not releasing a death row inmate. We have 9 people on death row here in Idaho right now, none of them scheduled for execution.
Correct.
So we do not have a history, as certain other states do, of executing people. So because of that, and because we have a, if you look at other states, a smaller number of people on death row. Elisa, is it still important, though, because it goes back, A, to the Constitution, but also with transparency, people can have a voice in how we execute someone?
Absolutely. And I think it's important to realize that there are only 9 people on death row in Idaho, but each of those individuals is a human being and deserves not to be not to experience severe pain during an execution. And so the death penalty is a matter of enormous significance to the public, no matter how many people are on death row. And the public interest in knowing what happens during an execution that is carried out in the name of the people of the state of Idaho, that is significant, no matter how many people are on death row.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking with us about this. Elisa Cover is an associate law professor at the University of Idaho. Richie Epnick is the legal director for the Idaho ACLU. I want to thank both of you again for coming in today and talking more about this.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for the invitation.